You know, but the thing is we all deal with things, correct? Yes or no? Well, over the past several weeks, or actually the past month or so, we've been talking about the ghost. We've been talking about how the Holy Ghost works and moves in our life. And then there's been a lot of statement brought from the pulpit to try and say, listen, don't get caught up so much on the word ghost. Don't think there's blasphemy because we say ghost or Holy Ghost versus Holy Spirit or comforter or advocate or, you know, whatever. We just try to keep you on your toes a little bit. Is that okay? All right? And the same power that's in the Holy Spirit is the same as the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. It's like calling me Mike or Michael. It's just the same difference. I'm the same individual, and it's the same with the Holy Ghost that lives within us. Pastor Weldon was talking about ghost-led over the past couple weeks. And in that, he was saying there's an involuntary part in our life that can take place where we don't really know what's going on. Maybe even consciously, we think we're making the decision, but in reality, the Holy Spirit has been moving us along that path unbeknownst to us. So, and I think of myself, and I can relate, and I'm not going to go into long-winded stories, but I think of myself being born and raised in Long Beach, California, going in the military, meeting my wife who's from Michigan, and then calling my dad and saying, hey, I met a girl from Michigan, and he goes, where at? I thought my dad was from Chicago, Illinois, by the way. I meet her, and I tell my dad, and he goes, where's she from? I said, little town called Brandt. Michigan's pretty big, right? And he goes, oh, I used to go to the beer garden there all the time. And I went, what? He goes, yeah, all your relations from Chesning. I said, huh? Where's Chesning? I look at my wife. She's just 15 minutes away. And so anyways, I come back to my roots. 12 years ago, I've been in this church. I was in no other church prior to Shield of Faith. I had visited churches. I was not saved. I was agnostic. I believed in something, but I didn't know what. 12 years ago, I came to church here. A week before that, coming to church, I would have told you I'm not going to church. I come to church, I get hit by the power of the ghost, and I get transformed to the point where now I'm pastoring full time, and I never asked once to be a pastor. How does that happen? How am I back from my root, back to my roots, 2,000, 2,500 miles away in a place? Anyways, I stand with that ghost led. There's so many things, and my encouragement to you guys is, find out for yourself in your life how the ghost has been leading you, because it's actually really, really cool to look back on and go, oh, you were there. Even when I didn't believe in you, you were still there directing my path. See, I can easily say that because I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't grow up as a believer, but I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, God has been directing my path the whole time. And that's so cool to look at. So, today I want to talk about being ghost-fed, being fed by the Holy Ghost, being fed by the Holy Spirit, and what that looks like or what that means. This morning, Steph and I were reading, actually she was reading and I was listening, and it was about, like, you know, food and things like that. And this one lady who had wrote the book, she was saying, you know, I like to picture my life as a cup, and what I put into my cup is either going to be good or bad. And all of a sudden, I got this like picture analogy in my head. I'm like, wow, that'll just go right into a message, right? And so I got these cups. They're big. They're pitchers. But now this one looks kind of like pee, but it's not, okay? But I wanted it to be colored just so you can see it, all right? Urine, if we want to be politically correct, all right? So I'm looking at this. Now, in the world, we look at this and we go, there's that saying, are you an optimistic person or are you a pessimistic person? Are you with me? And so we can tell how somebody is. Is this half full or is this half empty? And I've always been the kind of person that was, well, it's half full. And it's like, ooh, well, I'm an optimistic person. And we always are trying to figure out, am I optimistic? Am I pessimistic? And that kind of directs your path in life, because if you're always pessimistic, if you're always negative, you're always waiting for the anvil to fall, you know, the piano to fall out of the second story and hit you on the head, you know. It's like you live a life walking under a ladder, and you're always trying to wait and see what is the next horrible thing that's going to happen. So then I started thinking of us as a cup. And I thought, you know, if we see ourselves as half empty all the time, how does that reflect out of us? Does it reflect out of us that we are now just that individual that never, ever smiles, even when something cool is taking place in your life? You're just kind of prune-lipped, you know? You're just kind of stuck in that position of just kind of a woe-is-me life? Or do you see yourself being half full? Well, Scripture tells us in Ephesians 5:18 that we should be ever filled, right? And so this is the thing, I was looking at this and I was going, you know, this is what Scripture says, that we should always look like this. We should always, see, when you're like this, follow me. When you're like this, nobody can look at this now and go, it's half empty. And nobody can look at this and say it's half full. Why? Because the eyes aren't lying, because here it is. It is full. And if we live our lives filled with the Spirit of God all the time, then we live our lives full. And when we're full of the Spirit, what comes from the Spirit? What comes from the Ghost? Joy, love, gentleness, kindness, patience, all of those things. And the Bible says, against those things, there is no law. And so when we're talking about, if you're free, prove it. Wow. When you're living full of the Spirit of God, you are now living full of freedom, and they coincide with one another. And one would be like, well, how do I get to that point where I stay full? Well, that's the million-dollar question. It's your choice and how you do certain things. The glory behind it and the grace behind it, the beauty behind it, is that God gave us every tool that pertains to life and godliness so that we can be this pitcher that is full, or this body that is embodied with the fullness of God within us. And when you're full of God, your actions speak louder than your words. Words will speak, and that whole saying that says life and death, or how's the saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie from the enemy. Names kill, but I'm here to tell you that your kind actions will speak louder than words, because people want to see things in motion. It's kind of faith without deeds type of things. But anyway, so along with that, to every natural element in life, there is a supernatural element that goes hand in hand with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me break it down a little bit for you. Let's talk about food, natural food, okay? I saw Pastor Weldon the other day, and I was very much in line with what he said. If your life, who likes sweets in here? Candies, cookies, cakes, chocolate, all that good stuff, right? If your life is filled with all you do is eat sweets, your life will be out of balance, right? Your body would be out of balance if all you did is eat the sweet things. It's the same with the Scripture. So as preachers, as pastors, we're always trying to encourage. We're always trying to say, okay, you're more than a conqueror. You're fighting from victory, not for victory. You're victorious, right? God will never leave you or forsake you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We're trying to build you up, and we're telling you, preach yourself happy. Say the same things. Get in the Bible and just repeat those things. That's the sweets of God's. That's the sweets of God's word. Here's the thing. If all you do, though, is know the sweetness of God's word and not the fullness of God's word, you're still out of balance. For example, if all you're eating is, I'm more than a conqueror, which is true, but that day that all of a sudden you don't feel like a conqueror, what are you going to do? Because you haven't learned the rest of the Word of God. Yep. You haven't learned that it says don't grow weary in well-doing. And you haven't learned that the Bible says that you will go through many trials, but God will deliver you out of them all. And so if you get so one-sided in Scripture, it's the same as getting one-sided in your diet that you eat. Because we are what we eat physically and spiritually. And when we eat physically wrong, our bodies pay for it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And when we eat spiritually wrong, our bodies pay for it. Because we tell individuals, because you want to encourage, right? It says encourage the body, stir up the gift. And we tell them, listen, man, there's no one weapon formed against you that will prosper. And you're like, yeah, no weapon formed against me will prosper. But why do I feel like it's prospering? And then we forget, oh, I don't need to just eat the sweets. I need to eat the bland. And I need to eat the bitter. And I need to eat the sour. And I need to eat the savory, along with all of the other. It's the fullness of it. So how do you stay full of the Spirit of God? You have to be full of the Word of God. And you can't just be one-sided. See, the Bible also says a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Somebody who focuses on one thing only, but not the whole thing, becomes unstable in their thought process. So the Bible tells us, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But if your mind has only been renewed to a certain aspect and not the fullness, you don't have the big picture. And God has given us the ability to see the bigger picture of life. Amen? Amen. See, it's called being well-rounded. It's called being diverse. Who's ever got like a 401k or an IRA or invest in stocks or anything like that? Or heard anything about it? Anyways, I don't need a hand to show. Okay. But listen, when you go to an accountant, they will tell you, you need to be well diversified. See, don't put all your cookies in one jar. You need to spread it out. Because when this one that is really, really good starts to fail, the other ones that haven't been performing that well but are still performing, see, slow progress is still progress. They're still building. They're still going to keep you afloat even when this one goes dump because you're well diverse throughout it. We, as believers, need to be well diversed in the Word of God. When we're well diverse, when we're spread throughout the Word of God, understanding Old Testament and understanding New Testament, understanding the law of God and the grace of God, understanding we're not under the law of God, we are under the grace of God. Why was the law of God? Why did it have to be transformed through the grace of God? And when you get this bigger picture, you're like, oh, wow, Lord, you've had this thing figured out from the beginning. Wow. And what I have been delivered from. You know, the most freeing thing for me is understanding what I've been delivered from. See, I'd never been a person that was afraid of hell. And I didn't come to the Lord because I'm afraid of hell. But boy, oh boy, I came to the Lord knowing how much he did for me and what that meant in my life and how it transformed my family and my everything. See, it's easy to take credit yourself on what's going on in your life, but I give every credit to Jesus. Every single credit, man, I give it to him. And learn not to blame him, you know? And you can get angry at him because his shoulders are big enough to handle it, but, you know, sometimes we just have to look at ourselves in the process and figure out. So I've already quoted a bunch of scriptures, but I'm really focusing in one area, and that's Matthew 4, 1 through 4. And, you know, today I'm reading out of the Message Bible. Why not? I kind of like the way it is presented. And it's actually very close to King James, God's Word. It's really close in the same manner. Verse 1 of Matthew 4 says, next, Jesus was taken into the wild by the Spirit for a test. Now, it says Jesus was taken. Another translation says Jesus was led. Back to ghost led, Pastor. So Jesus was taken into the wilderness by the Spirit for a test. Who's ever been tested before? You can show hands, right? Here's the thing that I want you to take away from this. Then it says the devil was ready to give it. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, and the devil was ready to give the test. Who has ever given somebody a test? You're not the test taker, but you've given a test. In giving a test, I am the most prepared I have ever been in my life as a test giver. As a test giver, I know every answer and I know the whys behind that answer. I know every aspect of it. I'll share some stories from the military because they're more exciting than my normal life. And so, I'm just kidding. It's real exciting with Jesus. This was pre-Jesus. So, I was awarded, after going through it, I was awarded the expert field medical badge. Now, if you are ever sick and you're in the military, you want somebody that has the expert field medical badge. It's a 20% pass rate. It's not given out lightly, and it is a huge, huge accomplishment to get this. And so I got my expert field medical badge, and I'm in the wilderness or in the wild, right? And in the process of that, they said, all right, you have your EFMB, that's what it was called. I want you to be an instructor, and I want you to instruct the litter obstacle course. Now, this is for the new people coming on trying to test out for their expert field medical badge. And I'm thinking, cool. Now, the litter obstacle course is one of the only joint or group functions in this course that people test on. But everybody is still individually tested. I just loved it, man, because I knew that they're going to come to a wall and they're going to have to use teamwork to get over that wall with a litter, with a person on that weighing a minimum 150 pounds. They were going to have to get over this 8-foot wall, right, with the litter and not drop the patient off. And so they've got to use all the correct commands, ready, lift, you know, just all certain things. And I know this, and I'm testing it. And now, because I'm the tester, I can have all kinds of fun. So, like, we had barbed wire that they had to crawl under with the litter as they went. And so I thought, you know, it's really cool. Let's make it really, really muddy. Because the more muddy it is, the better it is. Because that's like real-world testing. That's good stuff, you know. And I'm thinking about how I was just so ready to give this test. Because, number one, I had passed that test already. And number two, I was prepared to give it, and I knew every aspect of it. And I think about the devil. I think about the devil coming to Jesus, and he's like, I am ready to give this test because I know the word of God, and I am all powerful down here. But how did Jesus go into the wilderness? He was led by the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus didn't go to this test that was coming until he was full to the rim. Amen. When he got filled, that is when he was led out into the wilderness. Not before, but after he was filled. And so what happened is Jesus went to this test prepared. Now, going back to another story. I didn't get my expert field medical badge on the first try. I got my expert field medical badge on the second try. Because the second time, see, the test taker typically, the test taker many times isn't fully prepared. Amen? So I remember taking the test the first time. It started with a written test, and I failed it. I didn't even make it to the field. I didn't even make it to the field exercise, you know, two-week field exercise. I failed the written test. Why? Because you needed to be an expert to get into this, and it started with a written test. And I wasn't fully prepared. I didn't take it as serious as I should have. And I think as we walk through life, we don't necessarily take things when it comes to God as serious as we should. You see, he's given us the ability to be filled, but many times we allow it to kind of drain out. Or we build this self-imposed dam within us and we don't allow it to get any more than half filled or a quarter filled because we're too much in the world and not enough in God. And so when we get ourselves prepared and move all the other junk out of the way, anybody went to college or graduate high school or whatever, you know, when you really cram for a test, when you're really prepared for that test, when you're really focused, man, this is what I'm going to do. I went through Jumpmaster school. I was a paratrooper, but in order to put people out of the aircraft, I had to be a jumpmaster. And so it was another one of those coveted badges that you wanted in the military. And so in the process of that, Stephanie could probably have jumped out of an aircraft by the time I had finished preparing for the test because I was preparing in front of her. Okay, if the wind is blowing from your left to your right, reach up high on your right side of risers, pull them down deep into your chest and hold them till you land. You know, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And I'm just repeating stuff. This is 20 years ago, guys, but I still remember it because I was so practiced. I was so studied. I was so focused. I was so into it. I haven't forgot those things. And so after all of this testing that you take in Jumpmaster school, the final thing is they line up three jumpers. And in the process of these three jumpers, two are combat equipment and one is Hollywood. Combat equipment means they had a rifle down their side, they had a reserve parachute, a rucksack under the parachute, backpack, and then a parachute on their back, plus their LCE, which was their canteen and ammo pouches, all that stuff hanging through the parachute. pretty miserable, right? And then the Hollywood jumper just had a parachute on and a reserve, and those were fun jumps, right? Those were excellent. And so out of all of this, the next thing you do, see, the jumpers are facing you, and so my right is actually their left, and my left is actually their right. So not only did I have to retrain myself on how to speak and call out these things correctly, I had to call out the things correctly. So I had to know all the nomenclature, all of what things were called. And it started head-to-toe inspection, front and back. And I remember going through. Now you had to get all three of these done within a five-minute period. And so in that process, I'm going through and you check the helmet, you come down the chin strap, make sure everything's good. Hit the canopy release assembly and you look. Hit the canopy release assembly, look, you go down, you go to the reserve and you come around, you snap it all. And anyways, long story short, I get through all three of them and at the end I'm like, cool. And he goes, come over here, paratrooper. And I walked over. This is the instructor, the tester. We call them black hats. He says, you made the time. And I'm thinking, good, cool, I made the time. He says, but I want you to look at this. And he pointed to a canopy release assembly. This is how you release the riser from your harness so that you don't get tugged by the wind when you hit the ground. And so I look at it. He says, tell me what's wrong with it. I grab it. I look at it. I said, nothing's wrong with it, Sergeant Black Hat or whatever, you know. And he goes, that's right. Jump master. And that was it. So I went from paratrooper to jump master. But the thing was, is I was confident in the test. He's pointing out, saying, what's wrong with this? You ever had doubt? You ever taken a test? Who's my nurses in here, right? Me too, right? So you take the test, and at the end, so you go through 4 years of college or whatever, however long it takes, and at the end, you've got this NCLEX to take. It's pass or fail. So you could be a graduate nurse, but if you don't pass the national board, you're nothing as far as a nurse is concerned, right? So you take this test. I'm hoping it ends in 75 questions, not 250. And at the end, you take it. Mine ends at 76 questions, not 75, 76, weird number. And I'm thinking, oh, I did good, I did good. 1 hour later, I'm like, oh, I did bad. I could have done so bad that it said no more, you know? And you start to doubt yourself, even though you believe you were prepared. But see, God wants us to be so prepared like I was when I looked. I said, there's nothing wrong with that. And he said, you're right, there is nothing wrong with it. God wants us to be in the same manner. He wants us to be so prepared in things with our life that when somebody says, the doubter, the atheist, the devil, whatever the case may be, he wants us to be so prepared that we say, no, it's this way. No, are you sure it's that way? Oh, yeah, I know it's that way. Are you sure you're saved? Anybody ever question their salvation? Are you sure you're saved? Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. I am sure I'm saved, and I'm sure I'm right with God because Jesus Christ made me that way. And I love him, and that's all I need to know. Well, but you don't remember what you did last week. Come on, let me tell you what. Jesus saved me, and I love him. And I told him I was sorry for it, and I know he's already forgiven me. It just made me feel better. I mean, there's so much, but people want us to be in doubt. Or the powers and principalities of this world want us to be in doubt. And you got to be confident. You need to be confident as a Christian. You need to be confident in your standing of where you are with him. Oh, how he loves us, Pastor Kathy. What a great way to end worship. Oh, how he loves us. When you start thinking on those things, everything else just kind of moves away. It gets out of the way of stuff in your life. Moving on. Actually, Richard today says, you only got one scripture. This is going to be about a 15-minute message. I said, no, I don't know, man. I think we're over 15 minutes, but we're moving along. So verse 2 says, Jesus prepared for the test by fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Now, let me ask you this. 40 days and 40 nights, what sustained Jesus? He didn't eat. What sustained him? He was filled. Amen. He was filled to the top. You see, his mind was so focused on the things of God that being in lack of food did not bother him to the point of being led astray by the tester. You see, he passes the test because he was filled with the knowledge of who he is and what he has in him through God. Isn't that cool? So the next time a test comes your way, what is it going to look like? I've been meditating on a ship that's built. And many of you have probably heard this same kind of scenario. But, you know, people build ships. And they sit in dry dock. And then they put them in the water and they're like, oh, they float. Cool. But a ship isn't truly tested until it's taken out to sea. And waves can hit it. You know, until we actually get out of our little comfort zone of our Christian hole and go out to see what happens in the world to be tested, we'll never know how strong our faith is. But when you get out there and you know that things coming left and right, tests, trials, temptation, that only comes from Satan, not God, these temptations, and you start walking through and passing the test, after trial, after temptation, then you're going, yes, now I know I am an unsinkable ship filled with the faith of God. Man, that's the stuff you're like, I know you're real, because in my own strength, there's no way I could do it. I know you're real. As I tried to quit smoking for 20 years on my own and couldn't do it and got saved, and that very night put the cigarettes down, and it was like, wow, that was not in my own strength. Kids, don't smoke. Adults, don't smoke. It'll kill you. You'll go to heaven earlier. I don't know. So Jesus prepared for the test by fasting 40 days and 40 nights. The Holy Ghost is what sustained him through that entire process. You ever work with a child? You had your own kids or whatever? I want you to picture this right now. This is how I see how the Holy Ghost worked, okay? Yes, I know you're working every moment with them. Yes, yes. Young and old, right? Okay, so check it out. I remember my daughters doing this as well. Climbing a tree. Anybody here ever climb a tree? You get to the top, and then all of a sudden you look down, and you go, mm-hmm. How do I get down? I know I got up here, but how do I get down? And so now I'm thinking of myself when I got up there, but now let's think of the little child and you as a parent or a guardian or somebody taking care of them. And you're looking up at them, and you're going, come on down. Come on down, sweetheart, it's okay, come on down. Come on down. And you're trying to encourage them. No, just, it's okay. And they're going, no, no, I can't reach. I said, yeah, you can, it's right here. Just put your foot right here, not here, you know. But no, I can't. You guys with me so far? Either yourself or somebody else, right? And in the process, you're trying to encourage them. So here's the steps that take place in our life with God. So I look at us climbing up into things in life many times, and God being like our Father, right? Going, come on down, it's okay. And you're going, no! But you know, faith and trust is the same thing, right? Faith and trust, same thing. It's not until you get the child. So you're trying to encourage, and God is trying to encourage us through things in life, but it's not until you get them to start to focus. And when you get them to focus, so this is what I do a lot of times, is a situation like that. I say, hey, stop, stop. Stop crying. You done? Look at me. I'm looking up at them, a tree, right? Look at me. And I get them to focus. Quit looking at all the stuff around you. It's like Peter who stepped out of the boat, right? He was walking on water until he looked around and saw the storm. And he sank, right? God wants us to focus, okay? So he wants us to be encouraged. So come on down, you can do it. And that encouragement sometimes is starting to gain a little bit of trust. And then he says, no, stop, I want you to focus. Look at me. Do you see me? Yeah, Dad. Kayla, do you see me? Yeah, Dad. All right. And now you take them to a place of instruction. Encourage, focus, and instruction. And so it's like, all right, so remember, this is what the Holy Ghost is doing to Jesus in the wilderness the whole time. I'm encouraging you, you can make it through this. I want you to focus on me and nothing else. And now I'm giving you some instruction, and that's how Jesus combated the devil with the word back, right? Okay, so, and we're looking at this. I'm just trying to make this plain in everyday life. And so we're saying, okay, focus, now listen, now take your left foot. No, not that, that's your right foot, your left foot. Yeah, okay, and put that one down. It's just a couple inches below you. You got it? Yeah, I got it. See, you're doing good. You're halfway down in only one step. And all of a sudden they get down and you're like, yeah! And all of a sudden what happens? You celebrate together. I told you you could do it, Kayla! Good job! Yes! And that is what God is doing with us. God is looking at us as a father, right? And he's going, come on, you can do it. Come on, I've laid it out for you. I've given you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. And you're like, no, I can't. No, I want you to focus on me, not the things around you, not the world around you, not all these cares and trials and tribulations. I want you to focus on me. Okay, Lord, I'm focusing on you. And now this is what I want you to do. I want you to eat of my word. And gives the instruction. Go through it. Bomb, bomb, bomb. And man, spirit fed, ghost fed. And he takes us out of these things. We can be our own worst enemy because we don't apply things that are already available to us. And the beauty of it is when you apply it, man, watch out for the breakthroughs. And it goes on from that scripture. It says, this left Jesus in a state of extreme hunger, and the devil took advantage of this in the first test. Do you see, when you're going through something, Satan knows, demons, whatever, God of this world, are you with me? He knows. And he will take advantage of your weakness. And that's why we say, when I am weak, he is strong. Amen. Because in my weakness, his power is made perfect. Amen? And so, don't get hard or down on yourself because you may have a moment of weakness or you need an extra breakthrough, because God's told us already he'll deliver us out of every single trial that we come into. Just hold fast. Just continue to stand. Just push on. Don't give up and just keep going, man. And it's a beautiful thing. And so Jesus goes on to tell him, Satan says, since you are God's son, speak the word that will turn these stones into loaves of bread. And Jesus answered, verse 4, by quoting Deuteronomy, because that's the word that was written at the time, right? Old Testament. In Deuteronomy it says, it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. And so I look at myself, and I'm going, okay, there are things in life that just aren't good that happen at times, right? But when it comes to the things of God, now I'm not pertaining to the world. When it comes to the things of God, when I got saved, I got driven. When I got saved, I got hungry. When I got saved, I consumed the word. Synonyms that go along with the word consume are eat, gobble up, feast on. I mean, every Christian book I could get my hands on, I read. The Bible, I read. Bible studies, I was involved in. Church, I was involved in. Prayer time, I was involved in. Every aspect of it. Ministering. What can I do to go deeper? Wasn't looking at pastoring. I was just looking at getting more of God, because it was like life changing. It was transformation. And I was feasting on it. It was like, just give me more, give me more, give me more. And when that took place in my life, all this other little piddly stuff was no longer a concern. It went by the wayside. Oh, Stephanie, how are our kids going to be? How are they going to do? Don't worry, give them to God. Okay, God, you got my kids. Whew, that's a big relief. You know, what about finances? How do we work this? Don't worry, just apply the word of God. Oh, we reap what we sow. Okay, let's sow. Now we reap. Whoa, hey, awesome. That's very cool. Well, what about this joy and stuff? Man, just stay in the word. Stay in the Lord. And he will give you joy that is unspeakable. What? Really? Okay, so, wow. Man, I just don't know what's going on. I remember when Stephanie got laid off one time. She says, you know, I lost my job. I looked at her, started laughing. That's okay, man. We'll be okay. Next day, she got a job, paying more money. Whoa, so hey, it's okay, right? It's these things, when trials come, man, God delivers you out of them. To personalize it, consuming God's word transforms you. And it's different. You see, I like to eat. But when I eat food, my belly gets filled. But when I eat of the Word of God, my heart gets filled. And there's a big difference between those. And so as we move in to 2019, out of 2018, just remember that God loves you and He has given you everything that you need to be filled and continually filled to the point of even overflowing. When the tests and the trials come, know that God will not leave you or forsake you. And know that in those testing and trials, your patience and your character and all that stuff is built and made even more perfect. It is by faith, through grace, that we are saved. And He loves us no matter what. Let's stand our feet and close in prayer. Now, Father, as we are getting ready to close out this year, I just thank You for the bonds of safety, Father, that are over my brothers and sisters here today and those who couldn't make it. Father, those that are listening online, I thank You, Lord, that You protect everyone that we know and love. Father, I thank You for safe roads on New Year's Eve night. I thank You for just a strong, magnificent community of believers coming in 2019. I thank You, Lord, that You do rebuke the devourer. And Father, You're doing things right now in the heavenlies that we don't even know about. But Father, we put our faith and our trust in You. I thank You, Lord, that You protect the innocence of our children and You keep them away from the evil one. Father, anyone, Father, who wants their territory expanded, I just thank You right now that You expand their territories coming up in this new year. Father, may we reach to new heights and new depths, Father God. May we go beyond our own natural sense of what we can do. I thank You, Father, that You strengthen us every day. I thank You for Your Word, Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, Father, that fills us to overflowing. Father, it's on this day we give You all praise and glory. And I just thank You that You use us to make a difference in this community, in this world. In Jesus Christ's glorious name. Amen. God bless you. Have a happy new year.